Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, and I expressed to them I was mad. I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, coming to you live right here on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Happy Fri-yay. We've got a great show coming right at you throughout these next 60 minutes. Of course, you know we'll have plenty of tourney talk as we recap Thursday's round one games of the NCAA tourney. A lot went down. There were some thrilling matchups. There were some ho-hum matchups. I must admit, that Michigan and Montana game put your boy to sleep. Yeah, I felt like my grandfather last night. My grandfather used to sit up late at night trying to watch sports. He were trying, and he would always end up just snoozing, sitting there with, like, Cheez-Its on his shirt and everything, right? And I woke up probably about halfway through that game. It was like halftime, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's the score? What is going on? What just happened? I was so tired last night. And I wake up and I see that, you know, Michigan, they started that game not so great. First media timeout hits and they're down by 10. They come back, and if it wasn't for a certain player, I don't know what would have happened to Michigan last night. But I think that's a product of having more than 10 days off due to the Big Ten tournament being moved up this year to New York City in Madison Square Garden. So a slow start nonetheless. A dub is a dub. A win is a win. And Michigan State's defense also ramped up as that game went along and they end up moving on in round one of the NCAA tournament. We'll recap some of the more memorable moments, though. More so memorable than, of course, that Michigan win from yesterday's day one. Of course, tonight is the night. I want to hear from Spartan fans who are actually heading downtown Detroit tonight to check out your Michigan State Spartans, as the Spartans will play host to the Bucknell Bison tonight around 7:10 p.m. I want to hear from those who will be attending tonight's game. How in the world did you get a ticket? Because the ticket prices are absolutely through the roof. I'm curious to hear about that story. I think for the most part, what I'm hearing from most Spartan fans is that, hey, you guys were heading down to Detroit, anywho, to check out the tournament, regardless if Michigan State was in it or not. So it was just icing on the cake when you found out on Selection Sunday that Michigan State was going to be playing in the D. That's how I feel like most Spartan fans got their tickets, and some of you guys are just whirling in the dough and just said, oh, yeah, I'll drop, you know, $500 on a ticket. No problem. I got it like that. I wish I had it like that, right? Thank goodness I'm a journalist. I'll be covering that game for you tonight. Myself, along with Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass, will be taking off to my hometown of Detroit later on this afternoon, and we will have post-game coverage from that game, which you can view via our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. We'll have a breakdown. I'm going to do something different. Yeah, tonight, Ian, you know what I'm going to do? Not only will we have a two-minute drill like we usually do, you get to, you know, see post-game content from Tom Izzo and the players, win or lose. But, you know, you and I, we're going to break down the game. You know, I've seen this done multiple times through various media outlets out there. We've never done that at Current Sports where, you know, we cover a game and then we, like, break it down on camera. Why not? Ian Hawley and myself, we're going to, you feel like doing that?
Let's, yes, do sir. That sounds like fun.
We'll be on the court. We'll break down the game for you.
Well, probably not on the court because I believe there is another game after Michigan State plays.
Yes,
so
sir.
We'll probably have to do it in the back somewhere. But we'll have a breakdown, and you'll get our immediate thoughts after the Michigan State and Bucknell game later on tonight. I'll post it to my Twitter page as well, at Al Martin, WKAR. So tune in for it. Should be fun. Should be fun if Michigan State wins, right, Spartan fans? So we'll have a preview of that game. And also, I'm excited to have this brother live here in studio for Segment B, my man Justin Kane, founder of the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Tournament, will join me live in studio to talk about this incredible event that raises funds to a few local charities that you want to hear about. I love playing in it. This will be my, fourth or fifth year now playing in the Battlefield Brawl, ninth year overall for the Brawl. Very cool stuff. Of course, this is the brainchild of not only Justin Kane, but also former Michigan State running back great Todd, formerly known as TJ Duckett. Of course, the Duckett brothers, Todd and his brother Tico, went on to play in the NFL as well. Great dudes who are always trying to impact the community in a very positive way. And then on the back end of the show, after we talk with Justin Kane, we will have, of course, Reflection Friday. So much to get to, so little time. I'll stop wasting it. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start with the Michigan men's basketball team. Ugly wins in the NC2A tournament still count as wins, don't they? And Michigan is still moving on. The number 3 seed Wolverines overcame a really sluggish opening 4 minutes and an early 10-point deficit to get past number 14 seed Montana last night, 61-47, your final at Intrust Bank Arena in Wichita, Kansas. Charles Matthews, thank goodness for Charles Matthews. He finished with 20 points, 11 boards, and Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. He added 11 points for Michigan. Michigan now with an overall record of 29-7 on the year. The Wolverines will play number 6 Houston for a spot in the Sweetness of 16 on Saturday around 9:35 p.m. You can catch that game on TBS. Houston advanced to the second round by outlasting number 11 San Diego State 67-65 earlier that night in a game that really is one of my biggest takeaways from Thursday. Rob Ray and his man bun. Man, Rob Ray can play. Would you ever rock a man bun, though, Ian? Rob Ray, he had the man bun flowing. He's got the tattoos on his chest. He's got a unique look. And the dude can ball. I love his game.
To be quite honest with you, I came pretty close to the man bun last year. I had real long hair. I had let it grow for probably like 10 months.
Right.
But then I just couldn't deal with it anymore. It was way too much.
The man bun is in, man.
It is.
It's. I don't know what it is, man, but I think it's like a look now. It's a thing now,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, if the chicks dig it, then you might as well.
That's all that matters, right? All right, shout out to Rob Ray. We'll have more on Houston's win because, again, that's one of my biggest takeaways. Rob Gray with a remarkable performance last night. He's a talented player. All right, Michigan State opens the NCAA tournament on Friday, today, tonight in Detroit with what could be a major test in the first round. Number 3 seed Michigan State will take on number 14 seed Bucknell at Little Caesars Arena. To start with, the Spartans hope is a long tournament run. The Bison, who played close games against the likes of North Carolina and Maryland early in the season, have been on a tear as of late, winning 18 of their last 19 games, on the way to a fourth straight Patriot League title and a second consecutive conference tournament championship. Now, Bucknell is led by its seniors, all of whom were named to the All-Patriot League first team. Center Na-Na Fowlin, Na-Na-Na-Na-Na. I love that first name. I sound like Master P anytime I say that. Na-Na Fowlin was the Patriot League's Defensive Player of the Year last season. He was joined on the all-defensive team this year by point guard Stephen Brown, who averages around 14-5 every game. And also the Bison's best player, forward Zach Thompson. Thomas. Get familiar with that name tonight, Spartan fans. He was named to the Patriot League All-First Team and, again, was the Conference Player of the Year. All three players have scored more than 1,000 points in their career, and they represent the first senior class in Patriot League history to win the regular season conference title 4 years in a row. This group also has NCAA tournament experience, having won the Patriot League tournament championship in back-to-back years. Before I move along, Ian, just one question, dude. How's your bracket holding up? I'm curious.
It's not so bad. I think my biggest losses were Arizona, although I only had them in the round of 32, and then I had them losing to Davidson, who lost to Kentucky. But then I had Davidson losing in the Sweet 16 to Virginia. So I think that was probably my biggest area of concern.
Well, I tell you what, I had actually Arizona going to the Final Four. Get this, out of 17 million or so brackets done via ESPN, only like 6,300 had Arizona losing to Buffalo. Crazy, right? Crazy. Insane. That's March Madness. I love March Madness, right?
How many of those do you think are autofill?
But, you know, I think most of those brackets are probably from Buffalo fans, right?
Probably
That's how
so.
It usually goes. All right, behind another stellar performance from sophomore guard East Lansing's own Taryn McCutcheon, the Michigan State women's basketball team defeated a persistent Cincinnati team last night, 81-75 in the first round of the Women's National Invitational Tournament on Thursday, the WNIT on Thursday night at the Breslin Center. I believe our very own Tamar Davis. Is Tamar behind the glass? We'll have Tamar just join us for a quick segment later on. Later on, we'll bring Tamar in to talk about Michigan State's win, Susie Merchant's win last night as they now move on in the WNIT. With the win, MSU improves to 18-13 this season. Cincy ends its year with a 19-13 record. Michigan State will remain at home for the second round. The Spartans will host the winner of the game between Toledo and Wright State. The Michigan State will play the winner of that matchup on Monday at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center here in East Lansing, Michigan. The game between the Rockets and the Raiders will be played today. All right, it may have been cold outside, but Michigan State baseball junior pitcher Riley McCauley and the Michigan State baseball team's bats were both hot on Thursday afternoon as Michigan State routed Niagara 10-1 in the Spartans' 2018 home opener at McLane Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field in East Lansing. It's Michigan State's earliest home opener. The weather wasn't great, but they still went out there and played despite snow flurries before the game. The weather cleared up and was really a solid afternoon for baseball as the Spartans won that game and win now a home opener for the seventh straight season. In improving to 5-10 overall in 2018, Niagara suffered defeat for the fourth time in its last five outings, falling to 2-9 on the season. So Michigan State improves to 4-0 all-time against the Purple Eagles. Thursday was the first of 26 home games on the 2018 schedule. Michigan State softball prepares for its final non-conference weekend, heading to College Stadium in Texas for the Reveal Invitational at number 7 Texas A&M. The Spartans will play host, will play the host Aggies twice and will also play Marist in one game. Michigan State snapped a five-game skid with a 4-3 walk-off win over San Diego State that wrapped up the Spartans' nine-day spring break trip out in Cali. Prior to the five-game skid, Michigan State had won 7 in a row. Michigan State expected to play 9 games over spring break, but had games versus number 2 Florida, number 17 Louisiana, both canceled. MSU had 2 walk-off wins versus Stanford and San Diego State, and 2 walk-off losses versus Cal Poly and Cal State Fullerton. Michigan State also dropped 2 games to teams ranked in the NFCA top 25. Those teams were number 3 UCLA and number 21 Long Beach State. And for the first time this spring, the Michigan State football team practiced in full pads as the Spartans held a 2.5-hour workout inside of the Duffy Doherty building on Thursday afternoon. It was the team's 4th spring practice overall and 2nd of the week after taking last week off for spring break. The Spartans will return for their 5th practice of the spring tomorrow. And Ty Simpson and his dad Jason were driving back to Martin from Nashville. Ty had just finished with his 7-on-7 team, J3M Select, when he got the message. It was from one of the premier college programs and its head coach. That's right, the University of Michigan's Jim Harbaugh. Ty is an 8th grader. 8th grader. at Martin Middle School. And he couldn't believe it. Ty had tweeted out videos showing him going through footwork and throwing drills. It piqued, of course, Harbaugh's interest. And Ty visited Michigan. What came next shocked even him. Harbaugh extended an offer for the 2022 quarterback. Wow, I may be on an AARP plan by then, Ian.
You think Harbaugh will still be at Michigan in 2022?
That's a good question. I don't know. If he isn't there, I should say, you know, this happens all the time. I mean, it's not like Ty Simpson just signed a national letter of intent. He's got a long time before that happens. But if Jimmy Boy isn't there, he's not going to go to Ann Arbor. But it just amazes me how recruiting is becoming younger and younger. It blows my mind. I guess it's Ty Simpson, though. He must be a very talented player to get an offer like that in only eighth grade. All right, Nikola Jokic, his hot hand, accounted for 23 points, 12 boards, 10 assists. Jamal Murray added 26 points, and the Denver Nuggets playoff hopes received a much-needed boost with a 120-113 victory over the Detroit Pistons on Thursday night. The fading Pistons dropped their 11th straight road game despite Andre Drummond scoring 21 points and grabbing 17 boards. Blake Griffin added 26 points and 9 assists. Detroit's last road victory was January 10th at Brooklyn, and the Pistons were coming off a 110-79 loss at Utah on Tuesday. Gosh, this is really, really bad right now. I think they're like 5 games in back of the NBA's Miami Heat for the 8th and last playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference. There aren't many games left, like 21 or so games left. The Pistons are at Portland on Saturday. Portland is playing very well. They gave it to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. This thing is getting really bad, and I don't know if my red, white, and royal blue are going to make the playoffs this year. Woe is me. It's tough being a Detroit Pistons fan. But, yeah, the Pistons are at Portland tomorrow and stop number 3 on a 6-game trip, while the Nuggets begin a long road trip at Memphis on Saturday. And the Detroit Red Wings, just two professional teams not playing great. The Wings fall to the LA Kings last night as well. I won't bore you with the details. It was a 4-1 final, though, as the Wings have now lost 8 straight. Gosh, it's tough being a pro fan in the D. Let's keep it pushing.
She is a treasure on that campus in Chicago.
We thank you, God, for the help you've given us in the past. And today we also promise to play with our heads and our hearts and let people know the passion we have for this game and for this tournament. We need your help to beat Miami.
One time out, they don't take it.
Thank God you did it, because we knew we would do it. Our team is so great, and they don't care who makes the points as long as we win the game. And I said we want to win the big, get the big W up there, and we did.
You can't break me down. You can't break me down. Love and hate.
And that is how we start this Friday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Little Michael Kiwanuka for you. Love and hate. One of my favorite joints out right now, and I got hip to that joint. As I just, you know, I'm a Netflix binger. Not afraid to admit that. I think most people are. If you are addicted to Netflix, I'm pretty sure you're binging shows, right? And I just saw a show that I think is one of the best shows I've watched in quite some time on Netflix. But 7 Seconds. If you have not watched 7 Seconds, it's an absolutely amazing show. Regina King stars in it along with a cast of not really big name actors, but the writing, flawless. But this is the theme song from 7 Seconds. So, and you heard intermixed with Michael's hot track. In my opinion, the MVP of Thursday's opening round games of the NCAA tournament. How about Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt? She's the day's MVP, folks. 98 years old. She is the chaplain of the number 11 seed Loyola Chicago men's basketball team. Loyola Chicago pulling off one of the day's biggest upsets with a almost buzzer-beating win over Miami. There were still like 0.3 seconds left on the clock. You could call it a buzzer beater. Why not? One of the biggest upsets of the day with that win over Miami. I called that one. Did you call that one, Ian? That was a sexy pick. Loyola Chicago on a roll. A lot of people thought that Loyola could pull off that magic against Miami. Well, you didn't have that one, though.
No, I had okay. Miami. I've just been trusting a lot of the ACC teams because I thought they were the strongest conference in out of the Power 5 this year. I also had NC State over Seton Hall, and that didn't work out so well for me either.
Okay, so you didn't have the Loyola-Chicago upset. But
no, sir.
And I will say, I want to give a big shout-out to Drew Valentine, who is the brother of Denzel Valentine, former Michigan State great. Who is now doing his thing with the lowly Chicago Bulls. But Drew Valentine is actually an assistant coach for the Loyola Chicago men's basketball team. It was cool seeing him on the bench celebrate that victory. Also, their pops, Carlton Valentine, who is certainly a dear friend of Current Sports, former Lansing Sexton boys basketball coach Carlton Valentine, who when cats like Bryn Forbes and, you know, as well as Denzel is his son. Trevor Manuel was actually on one of those teams as well. Lansing Sexton won back-to-back state championships here locally for the boys basketball team. Carlton was at the helm of that squad. So Carlton was at the game. I followed him on social media, and he was so geeked about that win for his son Drew and Loyola Chicago. But that's just one of the many takeaways from day one of the NCAA tournament. I want to know, what was your favorite moment from yesterday? Thursday is probably my favorite day of the tourney because it officially kicks off everything. And when you're at work, you're not really working. I tried to do work. I tried Boss Man yesterday, but after I got off the air, I went to my office and I had like 2 streams up and I'm trying to shoot emails out and I'm like watching all these games. Can't be Thursday. So what was your favorite moment? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I talk about probably, arguably the most boring game of yesterday's slate, Michigan and Montana. A few other things of note, a few other takeaways from yesterday's NC2A action. There are many people like myself that are absolutely enraged at Arizona right now. Yeah, Arizona losing to Buffalo. That busted brackets everywhere. John Simon is behind the glass putting his thumbs up. Did you call that upset, John? Okay, you didn't call it. I was about to say, dude, because only about 6,000 brackets did. But you're happy that Arizona fell.
Well, you see, I picked Arizona to go to the finals.
To the national championship game.
Wow. But I'm not upset because, as you know, I'm from Buffalo.
Right.
And grew up right next to UB's campus and actually have met head coach Nate Oates before. So I'm very happy for my hometown Bulls to pull off what's probably going to be the most shocking upset of this whole tournament.
I forgot. Yeah, you are from that area, man. So it makes sense.
Used to go to UB basketball camps growing up. So long history with the Bulls basketball team.
That's really cool stuff. And, you know, I didn't know this either, but former Michigan State men's basketball player Delvon Rowe was coached by Coach Oates.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I think back in high school.
Yeah, he was at Romulus in Detroit just a few years ago.
Exactly. So how about that? That's amazing stuff. So there's a local tie right there. I heard that during the broadcast yesterday. But yeah, Arizona. No, not many people saw that coming. I had Arizona in my Final Four, but 13 seed Buffalo drubbing. That's the thing about this. You can make an argument that the Buffalo win over Arizona may have been the biggest round one upset in NCAA tourney history, because when you see an upset, usually they're close games, right? You know, that underdog may have just had a great final 2 minutes to lead them to a 2-3 point win, but this one wasn't even close. It was a complete blowout. Buffalo just said, "I'm your daddy today." Crazy stuff. So shout out to Buffalo. AZ, I don't know what was up with that, and there was a lot of hype. And I bought into that hype, just like many of you did when it comes to Arizona with Sean Miller and the controversy with ESPN. Arizona won their conference tournament championship. DeAndre Ayton has a great tournament, and they seem to be surging, right? This was Arizona's redemption song to say, hey, world, take this after all of that negative press. But they go out in round one to Buffalo. And I see that DeAndre Ayton has, yes, declared for the NBA draft. So he's chucking up the deuces. You will see him in an NBA uniform come next year. So shout out to Coach Nate Oates, though. That was a gritty, collaborative effort while shooting nearly 50% from beyond the arc, out-rebounding the Wildcats as well to pull off this shocker. This Arizona squad, again, Final Four preseason pick, really, you know, I thought that they were going to rekindle that magic this year, but they shot just 11% from three. 11% from three. And I think blindfolded, you could probably shoot better than 11%. No, probably not.
Well, not me, but yeah, not somebody you. Could.
Somebody, I probably could.
You
I
probably
could. I could shoot 11% from three blindfolded, but hey. I don't have defenders in my face. If we were to do this, I wouldn't know. It's just different. But still, you get the point. 11% from three, that leads to losses, all right? Also, the Pac-12 really struck out in these NCAAs big time. Arizona, of course, as I just noted, but UCLA and Arizona State's first four play-in losses in Dayton. The Pac-12 went 0-3 in this year's tournament. And that's not to mention USC snub by the selection committee. So, yeah, not great for the Pac-12. And, you know, I mentioned Loyola Chicago, Sister Jean. That's just an amazing story. I mean, 98 years old, Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt sitting there in a wheelchair, hugging the players of Loyola Chicago as they headed off the court. That's just an amazing story. Those are the stories that we really love. That's why we love March Madness, right? Stories like that. That really tug on your heartstrings, and again, you may not have been following, and many of us haven't been following the ride of Loyola Chicago, but we get to see it on the big stage when you have an upset of this magnitude. So, again, congratulations to Loyola Chicago. And, you know, the almost Cinderellas really left us a bit unsatisfied, though. You know, number 14 seed Stephen F. Austin lost by 10 to Texas Tech after leading late. Number 13, UNC Greensboro lost by 4 to Gonzaga. That's the thing, you know, it's kind of like last year, to be honest with you, Ian. I mean, you know, I noted on yesterday's Current Sports how last year I was, you know, I bought right into it. I said, oh, my goodness, yeah, this is the tournament. Upsets are going to happen. Let me choose about four of them per round. You know, just craziness like that. And I said this year, that didn't happen last year. So I said this year, I'm just going to choose maybe one or two, two at the most per round. And that certainly paid dividends for me yesterday. But again, yeah, Stephen F. Austin, yeah, that was a sexy upset that many people were picking, but they lose. UNC Greensboro, that was another one, but they lose. Number 12 seed Davidson lost by 5 to Kentucky. That was close at first, but they end up losing. Number 12 seed South Dakota State lost by 9 to Ohio State after pushing it close late. Number 11 seed San Diego State lost by 2 to Houston. So five near upsets were really poised to bust brackets at first, but then the cream always rises to the top, right? Didn't happen. And trying to be a smart guy, and you probably just dug yourself a hole into the bottom barrel of whatever bracket pool you are in. Just go with your gut. Choose the favorite matchups because they're that seed for a reason, all right? Again, two at most is my advice that I would give you. But that's too late now, right? That's way too late now because brackets are finalized. And also, again, shout out to Houston's Rob Gray and his man bun. Shout out to the man bun. He's a name that you really want to get familiar with. The do everything senior guard put on a show yesterday. 39 points in a game-winning scoop shot that I have seen about five times, and every time I watch it, I mean, it reminds me of myself. Reminds me of Al Jordan back in the day balling in Dearborn Heights, Michigan at Annapolis High School. That's a move I used to pull off back in the day. I mean, you drive right, you got an extra defender coming in to try and stop you in, and then whoopsie-doo, you go up, under, you split the defenders, game over, put the babies to bed. That was one of the best plays that we saw yesterday. I like the other. I don't know what team it was, but I saw the 360 alley-oop by one of the players. That was really hot as well. We saw some nice crossovers as well in the Ohio State game. In the Ohio State game, one of the Ohio State defenders went down and did, like, you know, he got faked so bad. He did, like, the James Brown splits. That was a good play as well. But, man, that Rob Gray play was just so nice because he's got a defender on his left shoulder. He goes up, splits two defenders who jumped at him, goes under, off the glass, layup. Man, that's called ice in your veins, folks. So Houston moves on past San Diego State and into the second round, and Rob Gray has become like the celebrity of the tournament now. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And Rhode Island, I think Rhode Island is the dark horse that we thought it would be. You know, it was Oklahoma freshman Trey Young who drew the headlines coming into Thursday's contest, right? But how about the Rams' E.C. Matthews, who made clutch plays? I watched this with you, Ian, after we got off the airwaves yesterday, and we were sitting behind the glass watching it, and E.C. Matthews made clutch plays down the stretch and hit big shots, had a huge three-pointer. He was amazing in that game, amazing in that game. But Rhode Island, watch out for Rhode Island, folks. And also, hey, the SEC going 4-0 yesterday. Wow, Tennessee clocked Wright State. Kentucky fending off Davidson. Florida dropping St. Bonaventure. And Alabama clipping Virginia Tech. All four SEC teams that played yesterday in the NCAA tournament first round pulled out dubs. So, Auburn, Texas, A&M, Arkansas, and Missouri are in action today. And as far as games that are taking place right now, Providence is beating Texas A&M by 1 point right now with 16 minutes left to play. At halftime, Purdue is actually leading in that matchup. Who is Purdue playing? My game cast just refreshed. Cal State Fullerton. Thank you. 30-21 is what that halftime score reads there. And I see that Marshall and Wichita State, the Shockers, have just tipped off on TNT. So there you have that. Those are the games that are taking place right now while we are on the air. So, but yeah, the SEC, 4-0. And Ohio State, I mean, how about Ohio State? They pulled out a win there. Devontae Graham, I mean, he was big yesterday for Kansas, saying, look, I'm putting this team on my back. I am not letting us lose. 29 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Devontae Graham has been one of my favorite college basketball players throughout this entire year, but he led the Jayhawks to a 76-60 win over Penn. That was one of the games we were really watching. Oh, would this finally be the year that we see a 1 seed fall to a 16 seed? Nope, you're wrong. 76-60, the final there. A 16-point win for Devontae Graham and Kansas. And, yeah, so those were a few of my takeaways from day one. And when it comes to Michigan, Michigan got down early in that game. Prior to the first media timeout, they were down 10-0. You're sitting there saying, yep, this is the hangover effect from having 10-plus days off because Jim Delaney in the Big Ten decided to move things up a week. That's rust. That was rust. Jim Boeheim noted after the game that he was not going to let his team panic. We all took a collective breath. We locked down on defense, and it led to a win. But if it wasn't for Charles Matthews, I think that game could have went the other way, to be honest with you all. I mean, the defense was great for the Michigan Wolverines, but Charles Matthews is having a great stretch of basketball as of late. because Mo Wagner, the team star, he didn't have a great game. Xavier Simpson, he didn't have a great game. I believe he was in foul trouble throughout much of that game, played something like almost about just 5 minutes. But Mo Wagner was scoreless at halftime. So Charles Matthews, a great performance from him to lead the Wolverines in that round one win over Montana. And I think the Wolverines are going to be just fine. I do have the Wolverines as another one of my teams in the Final Four. And with that win, Michigan will now have to play that Houston team that I have been pumping up for the last, 10 minutes now. So that's going to be a fun game. Rob Gray versus Michigan. Get your popcorn ready. That's going to be a fun matchup. So a few takeaways for you, Ian.
So one of my takeaways, I was not sold on Kansas going to the Final Four before this tournament started. And we were watching that game. They were down, I think, 23-11 at one point or something crazy like that in the first half. And we were sitting there saying, this is going to be the year. It's going to be a 16-1. But I was very impressed, like you say, with Devontae Graham. And I'm really scared for Michigan State if we do happen to get past Duke, because now this Kansas team is looking pretty scary here come tournament time. Mm-hmm. I was very happy for Alabama and Colin Sexton, my hometown team, to get that win over Virginia Tech. That was a scrappy win they got there. We'll see how they fare against Villanova. Ohio State impressed me over South Dakota State with the way that they responded to some of the shooting troubles that they had. Mm-hmm. And Houston impressed me over San Diego State. I thought San Diego State was going to get the easy win. A lot of the analysts were pumping up San Diego State as one of the sleeper teams in this tournament.
Right.
And I thought even Michigan might have some trouble against San Diego State as well. But Houston snuck out that win, and now they'll have to face a Wolverines team who's kind of got their feet back under them. So like you say, I think that's going to be one of the best matchups of the second round. And I'm also looking forward to seeing how Rhode Island plays against Duke. They were very impressive in that win against Oklahoma. They were putting some Oklahoma players on skates. You talk about crossovers, man. There was one where I think Trey Young went down, and I thought they were going to have to cart him off the floor because his ankles were broken so bad.
Yeah, because I think that was, I know what play you're talking about as well. EC Matthews hit Trey with a fake to the left, and he thought he was going to commit to going to the left, driving left, and Trey bit on it. But EC Matthews gave him a little fake to the left and then pulled up for a jumper, and he kind of like stumbled a bit. That was a really nice play.
It was,
one of the big threes that EC Matthews hit in that game. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, fun first day, right?
Great first day. Couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, without a doubt. Even though the Michigan and Montana game literally put me to sleep last night. It was that coupled with the fact that I had a long day and I was just sitting there on the couch with my dog, and I just started snoozing off. So Michigan, though. And Houston, I don't think that one's going to put me to sleep tomorrow night at 9:40 p.m. But Michigan State, the big game, I want to hear from you. What do you think is going to happen tonight as your Michigan State Spartans will play host? Yes, I will say that because Michigan State is basically in its backyard playing downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. What do you think Michigan State is going to do tonight against the Bucknell Bison? That is a 7:10 p.m. Tip time. Current Sports will be down there. I'm driving to the D after this. Looking forward to staying with Grandma all weekend if Michigan State wins tonight. So, yeah, I want to hear from you, though. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we hope to invite to the show Justin Kane, founder of the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Tournament, and we'll have Reflection Friday for you. That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just have been talking about, as we have throughout this week, we've been chatting about, of course, round one of the NCAA tournament, which got underway yesterday officially. So many takeaways, so many fun moments. You know, I'm so enthralled with the whole Loyola Chicago. Do we have the preacher bite up, Ian? Do we have the download? Because I want to play that because, you know, watching that yesterday, as Sister Jean, you know, it's tough to beat a team that's got the man upstairs on your side, isn't it? Just hit him with this real quick, Ian.
I'm gonna pray for you. And I want you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he helped Joshua fight the Battle of Jericho. Yes. He helped Daniel get out the lion's den. He helped Gilligan get off the island. Lord.
All right, Lord. I mean, you can't be the team that's got the Lord on your side, right? That's one of my that's one of my favorite scenes for one of my favorite movies of all time, Coming to America, starring the great Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. He helped Gilligan. I mean, come on now. When you got the Lord on your side, Ian, how can you lose, right? So shout out to Loyola Chicago with Sister Jean, 98 years old. 98 years old, willing her team to a victory yesterday. That's fantastic stuff. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to join WKAR's Current Sports. Mike, happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all those who celebrate the holiday.
Yes,
and I want to talk to you. Well, rest in peace, Craig Mack. Without Craig Mack, it wouldn't be probably no P. Diddy, no Puffy, none of the Biggie or none of them. So rest in peace for that.
Preach on, Mike. It's, you know, and we played a few of Craig's hits throughout the week here, and, you know, in and out of each break. And shout out to John Simon as well, who helped with that, wasn't it, like 2 days ago. And I played Craig as my intro, Flavor in Your Ear, yesterday as my intro. But, yeah, I mean, just an untimely death. But, yeah, he was certainly a pioneer and was one of the hallmark artists for Diddy's Bad Boy label, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And I'm just thinking about all these guys who pioneered. They died in their 40s and 50s, man. Wow, I just can't get over that. You think they would be able to live a nice life, but it's like the life that they live in and stuff is catching up a lot to them, man.
Yeah.
It really is, man.
For sure.
What I want to ask you about, this is a good question. It's great. I'm talking about Colin Sexton in Alabama and Trey Young. Do you think the NCAA want many highly rated lottery picks to be in the NCAA tournament?
Without a doubt. I think that attracts more eyeballs. I mean, if you got a big name who has been throwing up huge numbers all year, that's the biggest reason why I think Oklahoma made the NCAA tourney, Mike. And I think it was no accident, as I stated yesterday, that they had Oklahoma open up the round one action on the opening Thursday of round one action against Rhode Island with that 12:15 tip time. I mean, because you get to open up with arguably the attorney's biggest name in Trae Young. So, yeah, I mean, it's all marketing. It's all about money. It's all about promoting those big-time players. So if you do have, you know, future NBA draft lottery picks who are in the tournament tearing it up, you want to market those individuals. So they certainly love that because it attracts more viewers, and viewers leads to high ratings, and high ratings leads to more advertising dollars. So it's a trickle-down effect for sure.
Speaking of high-rate NBA prospects and stuff, when are you going to see Markelle Fultz play?
That's a good question. 76. He's still injured for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I know he's been rehabbing pretty much all season, and I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't think the Sixers have announced a certain date in which Markelle will return to action, but that's the thing. I mean, Philadelphia already has such an amazing young core spearheaded by Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Markelle Fultz, I watched him in college at Washington, an amazing player, and I think he deserved to be the number one overall pick. And it's always unfortunate when you see a high pick like that get injured. But let's give him a chance. Everybody bashing this young man, saying he was overrated. We haven't seen him play really yet and get into a groove. So we'll see what happens. But I think he'll be fine, Mike. We'll see.
Okay, I want to talk about high school basketball right quick.
Okay, real quick, go ahead.
The women's team from Heritage, they playing in the semifinals, man. You got to watch them, man. They playing together as a team, and they sticking together as a team. And also, before I let you move on with the show, I'm coming down there Friday next week to watch the boys' semifinals and stuff. I hope I can see you in the building there.
Please do. Let us know when you come in town, and maybe you can make a visit to the station. Why not, Mike? You've been here before.
All right, I appreciate that, man. Thanks for doing that. I appreciate it.
All right, my man Mike from Saginaw. Appreciate
it,
Mike.
Thank you. All right, then. All right.
You got it. Got to love Mike from Saginaw, man. You know, Mike will hit you with some pop culture. Then he'll go into some X's and O's, you know, with the tournament. And then he'll talk some high school. He's a jack of all trades, isn't he, Ian? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to join us here on the airwaves. And again, the question I'm asking is, what do you think is going to happen tonight with your Michigan State Spartans? And I mentioned how this Bucknell team, this is not a team that you want to overlook. This is not a team that you want to look at and say, oh yeah, they're a 13 seed. We should certainly beat this squad, right? You don't want to take them lightly, because I think Bucknell is one of the best quote unquote lower seeded teams. Excuse me, Bucknell's a 14 seed. Lower seeded teams in the tournament. You know, arguably the best 14 seed in the tournament. You can make that argument. I mean, when I watch, I've been watching, gosh, I don't think I've ever watched as much Patriot League basketball as I have this weekend. I've been watching highlights all week, you know, previewing the Bucknell Bison. And I really, now again, you take in consideration that they play in the Patriot League. This is not like playing in one of the Power Six conferences, right? But you look at Bucknell, and what I've seen on camera, it's pretty impressive. I'm very impressed with Zach Thomas. He is a big man, again, who's averaging almost a double-double, 20-9. He can shoot the basketball. He can take it down low. He's very polished when it comes to his fundamentals down low. Also, I look at Na'Na Fowlin, who may have the best name, second probably to Tum Tum, right? Lou Rawls, Tum Tum, Nairn Jr. In this game. But Na'Na Fowlin is a senior center, who is a all-conference first-team selection, who has a really nice jump hook. He's averaging about 15-7 per game. And then you have Stephen Brown, which may be other than maybe the Zach Thomas and Jaren Jackson Jr. matchup, but you have Stephen Brown playing the point guard position. That's going to be a very interesting matchup between him and Cassius Winston, because, again, I've said all year, this team will go as far as Cassius Winston takes this team. When Cassius Winston plays well, this team wins. Your Spartans win. But he's matched up against Stephen Brown, who is a very balanced point guard. He gives you almost 15 points per game. He averages almost 5 assists per game. He plays decent defense. Stephen Brown has the potential to give Cassius Winston some problems. So that's a really interesting matchup to watch. But all in all, Michigan State is still the favorite in this game. According to Vegas, take this with a bag of salt, right? It's Vegas. It's Vegas. But Michigan State is favored by 14 points in this game. And I think it opened around 12 or so. And a lot of folks out there, as you know, the national pundits out there have been choosing Michigan State to not only go deep and make a Final Four, but a lot of the national analysts out there are actually choosing Michigan State to win this entire thing. But it helps that Michigan State will be playing at Little Caesars Arena, because this is going to be virtually a home game. There's going to be a lot of green and white in the house come 7:10 p.m. That helps Michigan State, because whenever you're playing a lower seeded team like a 14 seed Bucknell, if you are at a neutral site, we all know that the majority of those watching the NCAA tournament root for the underdog, root for that Cinderella team. And once that Cinderella team makes things interesting against a top seeded squad like Michigan State, you start to hear the crowd get on the side of that Cinderella team. So having Michigan State play virtually a home game against the Bucknell Bison tonight at Little Caesars Arena is going to pay off for this squad, because I think they may need that added ounce of energy against the Bison as this game moves along. So, what do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, hopefully, you know, it's kind of up in the air right now. Justin, maybe running a bit late here, but Justin Kane, founder of the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Tournament. But I also want to show some love to the ladies. I think, is Tamar Davis still here? Tamar, I'm going to bring Tamar in. He covered the Michigan State and Cincinnati women's basketball game in the WNIT last night. An impressive showing from Susie March and Spartans. Tomorrow we'll have an update on that, and we will have Reflection Friday for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll close the show and put a bow on this week in current sports when we come right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and the man, the myth, the legend has just walked through the door here in Studio S. I was worried that we wouldn't be able to get him on the show, but he is here to close out the show by, of course, talking about one of my favorite events here that's held annually in the Lansing area, the Battlefield Brawl Flag Football Tournament. My man Justin Kane is here to tell you all about it. Justin,
how you doing, man?
We finally got you in studio.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Oh man, I'm sorry I got going on stuff, and I looked down and it was 1:29. I was supposed to be here at 1:30. So, You're fine, man.
As long as we got you in before we say goodbye at 2:00, it's all good in the hood. All right.
Yeah.
Justin, this is the 9th annual, right?
Ninth annual.
Yep. Not 10th. I was tempted to say 10th earlier this show. I'm like, hold on. This is the 9th. So tomorrow's is going to have to be huge, right? But this is the 9th annual Battlefield Brawl.
Right.
For those that don't know anything about it and are just maybe hearing about it for the first time and have been living in under a rock these last 9 years, tell them how this came about, how you partnered with Tide, and what you guys have coming for this year's ball.
Yeah, so I'm a childhood cancer survivor. So after I started my business for a while, I wanted to give back, and I wanted to start a fundraiser. But we have 1.5 million 5Ks and golf outings and whatnot. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. Flag football is, well, football is a passion of mine, and I can't play it because I have stuff in my body because of my surgeries and stuff. So I couldn't ever play it. But flag football was like an outlet, you know? So I thought, hey, you know, it'd be really fun to spend a day, play some flag football and raise some money for good causes. And so I started talking about it, and nothing really happened for about a year. And then TJ retired from the NFL. And when he came back, he had done similar kind of stuff in Atlanta. So he jumped on board, and we just started it, and it's been good. We've raised a good bit of money for some great causes, and we're keeping it going.
And to talk about those great causes, what specific causes and foundations does the Battlefield Brawl raise funds for?
Yeah, well, every year it raises funds for New World Flood, but then it
and that's
also...
that's Todd's foundation,
that,
right?
That's Todd's foundation, promoting volunteerism. But it always has a second organization, and this year it's the Davies Project. And the Davies Project, what they do is they provide free transportation for families and children who otherwise would not be able to make it to our doctor appointments, which leads then to having to go to the ER for emergencies and big bills and big expenses. So they're really helping, you know, kids stay healthy, and we think that's a great cause. So we want to raise some money for it.
Absolutely amazing. So if we have listeners out there, we have about 3 minutes left here, Justin, but if we have listeners out there that want to get involved and possibly even play, come the Battlefield Brawl, when is it? How can they get involved? What's the money donation system like?
Yep. Okay. So the game's gonna be April 22nd, and it's gonna be at Marshall Park in Lansing. It's $500 for a team. We are almost full, but we have a few spots open still. And then it's $500 for a team, and then teams raise money beyond that to vie for their spot in the X Factor draft, which is ex-MSU basketball players and football players that come and play beside you on your team.
Yep.
So it's pretty fun. We've had some pretty big names there. Devin Thomas, Drew Stanton.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, all big names. Yeah. And this year's not going to be any different. So you can do that. This year's a little different because we're asking every team to dedicate their team name to a person that they know who has or is currently fighting a life-threatening illness or disease. So
that's great.
So I love that. Yeah.
So it's not going to be like cool. Orange Crush this year, right? Their name's going to be altered a bit.
Right. Exactly.
Love that. And Orange Crush, the reason why I say this is because Orange Crush, they usually dominate this thing every year. And it frustrates me, Jason.
But they actually lost last year.
They did lose last year, didn't they?
Yep.
To your team?
Well, I was on the team. I was a transplant. But yes, it was Conquest Fitness. Yep.
Gotcha.
So Conquest will be there again.
And that's Andre Hudson's
as a champion.
Right. And Conquest is Andre Hudson's flag football team and group named after his gym, right? So
that's very
cool stuff. And we'll have either yourself, Justin, Todd, as well as Jason leading up to the tournament late April. So we have a minute left, but Justin, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it.
Hey, no problem, Al.
You are the man.
Oh, thank you.
All right, to close out, real quick, in Reflection Friday, my favorite moment other than the NCAA tournament and all the talk that we've had on the tournament, Tiger Woods is back. You know that, right? Fans are so bonkers about Tiger Woods coming back that they have actually bought the doctor of Tiger Woods in edible arrangement, saying thank you for healing Tiger and bringing him back to the game of golf. I love that story. It put a smile on my face. So that's my only Reflection Friday. But again, we'll be covering tonight's Michigan State and Bucknell game at Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News for coverage. See you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.